Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFARL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest today is Merhat Sharipjan, a senior correspondent here at RFARL who's been covering Russia and the broader region for many years. Merhat, a warm welcome, and thanks for being on the show again.
Hi, and many thanks for bringing me here today.
All right. Now, to me, there's several events or occurrences in recent Russian history that really stand out as milestones in the post-Soviet era and even the history of the Putin era, which, of course, is still going on. There was the day that federal forces rolled into Chechnya in 1994, for example, the school siege in Beslan 10 years later. And that time in 2011 when Putin announced he would return to the presidency the next year. There are also a pretty large number of killings of prominent politicians and journalists and other people who challenge the Kremlin or authorities at other levels as well. One of the most prominent was Boris Nemtsov, the former first deputy prime minister, who was shot dead on a bridge near the Kremlin 5 years ago this Thursday, on February 27th, 2015. Now, in 2017, five men from Chechnya were sentenced to prison for Nemtsov's murder. But many people, including relatives, government critics, and others, have voiced suspicion that those five men merely carried out a contract killing and that there were people behind it who may never face justice because an honest investigation could lead too close to Putin or to the strongman he has relied on to rule Chechnya for many years, Ramzan Kadyrov. Merhat, 5 years after Nemtsov's killing, have you seen signs of progress or suggestions that the hopes for justice shared by relatives of Nemtsov and others may be satisfied?
Well, unfortunately, I don't see anything which can be described as a sign of progress in that matter. Looks like at this point, while Putin is still in power, while Ramzan Kadyrov is there still, it will be almost impossible to find out who ordered the killing. Moreover, there are some other reports, recent reports, saying that at least one of these people who was sentenced is living a luxurious life in one of the prisons. There were some photos, unconfirmed photos of the person, together with other people who look like Vary v Zakone, those kingpins living like kings in prisons. For them, they look like they're spending time in a spa or somewhere. And I wouldn't be mistaken if it turns out that this is a real story, and the same kind of life in prison, of so-called prisons, is being enjoyed by others, other four who were sentenced in this. So at this point, I monitor what Nemtsov's friends and relatives say on a regular basis, and they still think that the people who ordered that murder are still somewhere. And one more thing, very important thing, and this is shared by many, that the politicians like Nemtsov of that level cannot be killed by just anyone, even by Kadyrov, without any blessing from somebody close to Kremlin.
I mean, it's interesting you point out these photos seeming to show, I believe it was the man convicted of pulling the trigger, you know, kind of in a banquet style situation. Those kind of things have become somewhat of a genre of these kind of, you know, as you say, sort of kingpin like almost celebrations in prison. So, and the timing of that, obviously, you know, quite striking. Now, you know, as you say, you know, I've seen few signs of kind of progress towards justice, or at least in the eyes of his relatives and other supporters of Nemtsov. There's quite a lot of action sort of on the sidelines around, for one thing, around geopolitics, with there have been there's a square in Washington D.C. Now named after Boris Nemtsov, and in Prague this week, the square in front of the Russian embassy may be renamed after Boris Nemtsov this week on the anniversary of his killing. So, those are obviously actions, the renamings that certainly irk the Kremlin. And another thing that's happening, of course, the way he will be remembered in Russia this week is there's a march planned, a large march planned for Moscow, and I believe some other cities as well, on February 29th, on Saturday. I think the organizers have permission for about 30,000 people to march through central Moscow and hold a rally. And there, some of them will be calling as well for, will be protesting against the constitutional amendments that Putin is proposing, and also possibly other things such as the so-called network case, in which several people who were convicted on what they say are trumped-up terror charges. Have claimed that they were tortured in custody. So with little progress apparently towards what the relatives would see as justice, but a fair amount of action going around. I mean, what message would you say that these things that are happening, the renamings of squares around the world after Nemtsov, and the march is planned for Saturday. What kind of messages are these sending to the Kremlin, and are the Russian authorities listening?
Well, the murders like this, on this level, like during Stalin, we remember when Kirov was murdered, there was not just a murder to get rid of an opponent, but also to send a signal. Mm-hmm. And that signal, we can clearly see that signal was taken, and people are trying to say, well, we still are going to protest, to be openly go and say our whatever we want to say, and this international community is trying to show that this kind of murder cannot be done in a way that somebody gets away, and there might be some people responsible, accounted. This kind of showing of solidarity. Mm-hmm. Is the Kremlin listening? I think it is listening now, because the fact that the march was allowed is already a sign that they are listening. They have to listen, mm-hmm. Especially if you take into account the recent events. They don't want to listen, of course, but they have to, because you remember the story of Golunov, when under the pressure of the community of Moscow, of people, journalist Golunov was exonerated, he was released, mm-hmm. and it turned out that the whole accusations against him, which were about illegal distribution of illegal drugs, were bogus. And mm-hmm. This all shows that the popularity is going down after this amendments to the pension retirement age the Golunov case, the case of network. People see that anyone in Russia can be sent to jail for many years for nothing. And the Kremlin also sees that people are getting more and more organized and more open to say enough is enough. So that's why they kind of starting to listen. But it doesn't mean that they're listening fully. They're just trying to keep it under control, but still giving some kind of freedom to people to some certain extent.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, sort of try to keep it under control. I think the main thing that the Kremlin is probably doing is, trying to manage the way these things are handled, and make sure nothing gets too out of hand. In other words, managing the response and sort of dealing with it as they can. If they could, bar the protests, they would, but they're going to, let it happen and try to let off steam. I mean, one thing I guess I would say sort of in conclusion, to me, Nemtsov he still seems like he was, you know, he was in the government in the 1990s, and then became, you know, became a vociferous opponent of Putin. To me, it's just he seems like a symbol of kind of a different Russia, Russia that might have, you know, might have developed in a somewhat different way, you know, in and after the 1990s. And his killing, I think, you know, to me is sort of almost a symbol of, you know, the death of that kind of opportunity. It's a, you know, 5-year anniversary. You know, it's a big milestone, and we're going to watch closely how it develops. All right, well, let's wrap it up for today, Merhat. Thanks very much for joining me and for your insights.
No, thank you very much.
All right, I'll be back next Monday for another Week Ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for The Week in Russia, my newsletter about recent events and what they might mean going forward. Thanks for listening.